Hi, can you guys hear me?
I can hear
yes,
you.
Yes, can hear you.
Yeah.
How is everyone?
Really happy 2017 is over. How about yourself?
I'm good. Unfortunately, my 2018 started with a car accident in Mombasa, but otherwise, I'm good.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It was a Matatu, which is like a bus. It was a bus driver driving without brakes, because that's a good decision. And he hit our car. Yeah. Wait, yeah, it was
the bus just didn't have brakes, and he's like, oh, this will be okay.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I thought I could just go slow and it would be fine. I'm like, no, dude, that
stopping, it's important. Newton's third law and all.
That's Kenya for you, I guess.
I would kind of believe that.
Yeah.
But you're okay, everybody's okay?
Yeah, nobody was hurt. I mean, it was like a bumper-to-bumper traffic situation. So he just hit us, he rear-ended us and shattered the back windshield. And then the owner of it tried to say that it was $50 repair and we could just call it even. And we're like, no, dude, we're going to call the police. It was a whole ordeal, but everything's fine now.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that sounds like a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Do we have the key people here? I know like Mary Jo is still out on holiday in Ethiopia, and Josh made it back to Seattle but is sick. I mean, so I think from the Village Reach side, we have a critical mass. Maybe a few others will join us.
But cool.
Clay, what about you on your side?
Yeah, I think it's going to be just me today. Matt and Peter are tied up with something. So I think we're good from our end.
Okay, cool. Well, then let's get started with the showcase. I don't have that much to say at the beginning here. I just, you know, got back Tuesday from holiday and I watched the video of the last showcase. And I mean, I saw, you know, a bunch of the tickets in the sprint for these indicators are moving along and more in review, but maybe Clay, if you want to take it from there and kind of talk a bit about high level what y'all did this sprint and then what you want to review or what questions you have for today.
Sure. So so essentially what we got done since the last showcase, and I mean, note that we did have a week plus of some holiday time in there, but we finished the full stock availability indicator. That one was, we were having some questions around, we were investigating what was the best aggregator for us to use for that indicator. We found out the next morning, and so we added the full stock availability indicator to the dashboard, and that seems to be calculating correctly based on, you know, the demo data we have. And then we've been making some additional tweaks to the closed vial wastage indicator, specifically to report on the stock on hand at the start of a reporting period. And we had talked about inferring rows. So I guess to refresh everybody's mind, that would be if we have a stock card line item from the 31st of a month, and then we have a line item from the 2nd of the following month, we would infer a row for the 1st of that month that would essentially carry data over from the 31st of the previous month, so that we didn't really have gaps in what we were pulling when we would look at a reporting period. So we've done the build to infer those rows. And what we're working on now is just you finding the right aggregator to, you know, pull the stock on hand for the start of the reporting period. I've got a quick update in one of the JIRA tickets that goes through it in more detail. Basically, there are two types of aggregators that Superset and Druid use, or there's two types of metrics that Superset and Druid use. There are aggregators and there are post-aggregators. And we're finding that the aggregator that pulls the value for a minimum date in a range isn't behaving well when it's plugged in to a post aggregator. This is something we just discovered today as we just finished the inferred road build late yesterday. So, you know, we're still looking through that. I think it's something we'll be able to resolve, you know, in some time, but we'll keep you updated there. otherwise, I mean, yeah, that's really the progress we've made since last showcase is one, building out full stock availability, and two, making some modifications to closed vial wastage. Really with the JIRA tickets that we can see on the screen here, the two specification tickets, or the, you know, those are really the logical definition of the ticket. I think we've got those ironed out, and of course it's good to have Josh's review one more time, but I think we'll probably be able to move those to complete. We have the build for indicator one, full stock availability. That's good. So I think it's just a matter of any data validation that y'all might want to do on your end, and we can, you know, once you're comfortable with the way that metric's looking, we can move that to done. For the columns needed to report on product model, I spoke with Josh on the phone about this. I guess it was after the showcase, but before the Christmas break. Essentially, we have trade item, lot number, and then there's like a whole hierarchy of commodity types, which And as we discussed, can vary from one implementation to another, like how many levels of commodity types there are. But that's essentially what's captured there. What this ticket is really meant to capture is, are there other fields that we should be capturing that we aren't currently capturing? If what's included here and what's already obviously included in superset is sufficient, you know, we can move that one to done. And then, yeah, for the report on stock on hand at the beginning of the reporting period, that is specifically talking about our strategy for inferring rows. The build's in place, so if, you know, if that's something we're comfortable with, we can move that to done. For things that are still in progress, there's the second wave of demo data enrichments that the Village Reach team was working on in the current sprint. I'm not sure how your sprint is looking with the holidays in there. I don't know if we're doing it like a shorter sprint, like we did with Ona, or if you guys are just adding an extra week to your sprint. But we're still waiting on having the demo data enriched with commodity types, trade items, and lot numbers. So it looks like you're looking that up.
Yeah, it looks like that ticket made it into the QA column. But I also remember hearing yesterday some issues, like I think it's still on a branch. I think it hasn't been merged to master. And if I remember right, about what Chungsen and others were saying, it, when we do merge it, it may cause another problem that we're going to have to fix. So, So it's close, but still has some final pieces to polish off.
Sure, that's fine. We have a few items that are in the in progress column that are dependent upon that, but they're not going to be major, work efforts. So those two would be the stock card data from the test server to Druid. We're not going to move that to complete until we've obviously moved every data element that we need to. But adding these new data elements to our transform spec, is straightforward enough. So we don't anticipate, a big risk there. As long as we get it's just saying, let's make sure we're capturing all of the fields that we need to be capturing. For the next ticket, build for disk 2, close valve wastage, the two components in that are, one, figuring out the right aggregator, post-aggregator relationship, finding the right aggregator that would play nice with our post-aggregator, like I was talking about earlier with finding the stock on hand at the beginning of the reporting period. That's something, our team is working on now. And then the second piece would be, can you open that up? The other piece of what we're waiting on there is escaping me for the moment. My most recent comment has the two. Yeah, okay, and then we need to restrict this to only look at vaccines. As Matt noticed shortly following the showcase, we had things like safety box and really orderables that wouldn't be susceptible to closed vial wastage. So we need to exclude those. I spoke with Josh after the showcase about the best way to identify, and I know we had some conversation in Slack as well, around the best way to identify vaccines. And where Josh and I landed was to use a commodity type field that's equal to, it's one of the higher level commodity type fields, and it's equal to 5-1 and a bunch of zeros. That would indicate all vaccines. And so once we get commodity type data loaded, we'll be able to add that restriction to the metric so that we're not looking at, miscellaneous supplies in this metric. Just some tweaks we need to make to close bio wastage. And then for NiFi, that last one there for NiFi pulling data from your API, we have built the loop to ping your API endpoint for requisition data, but obviously this is something that we had been working on, you know, a couple months ago, back when we thought that requisition data was going to be necessary for the full stock availability indicator. Obviously now, as our two metrics require stock card data, we'll need to, and not requisition data, we'll need to modify that loop so that it pulls from your stock card API endpoints, and then we'll need to test it, that it's running on the frequency we would want it to, and things like that. what the Ona team will be working on in our next sprint is one, resolving that issue with the aggregator post aggregator for closed file wastage. Once we get the product model hierarchy fields added to the demo data, we can make those modifications to our transform specification, which is essentially what it's what catches the data after NiFi pulls it from your API and loads it into Druid. We'll make those modifications to include the product model fields. We'll modify our closed vial wastage indicator to only look at vaccines. And then we'll test that loop to make sure that the data is, you know, effectively streaming like we would want it to, because, you know, previously or to date, we've just been hitting the API manually. Obviously, we want that to be an automatic process. And so that's something that we're going to be working on in this next sprint. So that was a lot. Do you guys have any questions? Is there anything in particular that I should circle back to?
Yeah, thanks. Any questions? I wonder for today, Clay, what you feel like is most useful, you know, given that it was a holiday, but you did make some progress on, you know, both of the two indicators. Is it worth doing screen sharing and looking in, you know, in Superset to see both full stock availability and closed file wastage today, or kind of show them or what? And also, do you have a bunch of questions? What's helpful?
Yeah, so I think the one question I had was getting an update on the demo data, which we've already, the enrichment to the demo data, which we've already looked at. There is one thing that I would want to show based on the closed vial wastage indicator. Mary Jo had requested that we add reason name to the table that exposes that data. But as I was looking at it today, that actually is causing a bit of an issue. So if I can show you all what that looks like, and you can just get a sense of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that'd be great. I can stop screen sharing and let you share to show that. And
cool. Let me know when you can see my screen.
Yes, we do see a browser window.
Okay, cool. So right now, for the closed vial wastage detail table here at the top, you can see that we've got, you know, the closed vial wastage quantity being numerator of 135. Right now, again, as I said, we're figuring out the best way to get the stock and have the start of reporting period. So the denominator is just this quantity from receipts, and it's dividing nicely and giving us the rate we want. Now, however, when I add the reason name to that as a group by, it's going to give us zeros for all of our rates and zeros for all of our quantity from receipts. So it's giving us the quantity wasted for the reasons that count as closed vial wastage, but it's not counting our denominator value, and then it's therefore not calculating a rate. And that's because when we add a column, we're essentially doing a group by. And it's a group by here of lost. And when I look at our demo data, anything that would be hitting our denominator would have a different reason name of transfer in, and it would be a credit, right? Whereas our closed vial wastage have reasons like stolen and their debits. So it's essentially pulling the two apart when we add reason name as a column. It's not smart enough to really only show us the reason name for the closed vial wastage, but to ignore the reason name for things that would be factoring into the denominator. Is this making sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. And I wonder, I mean, we don't ever want to break down the denominator, right? We only really want to do the grouping, or, you know, divide by reason code for the numerator, right?
Right. Like, I was looking at the screenshot that y'all provided. I mean, you know, we would have per reason, what percentage are, of all of our dose, you know, what's the closed vial wastage rate per percentage? This is something that I just discovered earlier today. So we can, I mean, I'm by no means am I saying that it's not possible. I'm just, you know, sharing, you know, an issue that we encountered. So this is another item that our team will be looking into with regards to closed vial wastage, is to see if we can give you a table like what you have here in this PDF. So yeah, I think, you know, some alternatives that I can think of off the top of my head would be, if we remove the rate and the denominator value, then we can get closed vial quantity by reason, but it obviously doesn't give us the percentage that we're looking at. It just gives us a sense of the number of doses being wasted per reason. You know, and that might require us to have two tables, one that's showing us the rate by each facility and program, and one that gives us more detail around the quantity of vials wasted per reason. But I think we can also look into a way of getting this into one table that you know, is much more like what's in your screenshot here.
Clay, hi, this is Vidya. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. So with regards to the reason code, that's actually really useful information. So thank you for looking into that. I was wondering if there's a way in which you could show it instead of a table. I know Mayjo requested as a table based on the PDF that we sent, but is it possible to have it be a pie chart instead? Because that could be one way of resolving the issue that you've identified, because if it's in the form of a pie chart, you can see the sort of reason what's causing most of the closed vial wastage, and you're not focusing as much on the quantity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let's try this. Let's see. This is, I'm just doing this on the fly here, so we'll see how this works. Why is it not even giving me a graph? Let's see.
Vidya,
maybe
while he's doing that, could you say a little more, like, is it, if it's a pie chart, on a pie chart, you can't easily see, like, a time axis or see a change over time unless you, like, have a different pie chart per month, or make people drill in and say just what time range they want to see, and then the pie chart comes. Is that usually the way people would look at this, is kind of drill into a district or a facility or a point in time and then see closed vial wastage in a color-coded pie?
Yeah, so how it's normally done is you pick a time period, usually 1 month or a quarter, and then you pick the geographic hierarchy. So you either pick a city or a district, and then you, it's done by points to either facilities or districts, and then for that quarter or monthly time period, you pick a product, because closed vial wastage is per product. And then you see what's causing the most amount of closed vial wastage for that product and that time period.
Yeah. I was wondering why it wouldn't even give me a pie chart. no, I hear you. I think we can try to find a way to expose reason in a more, I'm not entirely sure why this isn't even giving me a graph, but I think we can look into finding a way to expose that reason name. Because I hear you. Understanding You know, if it's due to cold chain failure, but you know, potentially is it something that you could adjust, you know, do you need more cold chain equipment or is there something wrong with the process, et cetera? So yeah, so I think one, I'll see if we can find a way to get around that group by restriction that we're seeing in the table, and then two, I'll figure out a way to get a pie chart or a bar graph or something that kind of shows us the proportion of closed vial wastage, you know, with each reason.
Cool. NVIDIA, I mean, the initial visualization that Clay had before we started editing it here was more of a line graph. Yeah, like this. This default closed vial wastage was more of a line graph, which lets you see the change over time, but also lets you see from one facility to the next how they kind of compare to sort of know which facility is worse or which facility is having a spike in wastage at a certain time. Is this still useful? Or once people see it in the pie chart way by reason, would they not even care about this line rendition?
No, so I would actually say the most important is this line rendition, again, by product. Right now, I can't tell if it's showing me for the two facilities by a certain product, or if it's across all products, because that actually isn't useful.
Sure. We can certainly add product. I'm just going to use orderable name as an example here.
Well, that gets it.
Yeah, it does get busy. Another alternative would be to filter by product in the right here. So here we have orderable name. I can select, once my browser responds, I can select, we'll just use BCG as an example, and it, you know, it updates this graph just for BCG. So we could have another graph that actually has by product first, but then you could use this filter to restrict to, you know, certain products here. So in fact, if this were by product, we'd have three lines, one for each of these. So it would make the graph less busy.
Yeah. So I think that's great. Because I think what's happening is that it's still pooling all three together. So instead of a distinct product, that's useful. So to answer Brandon's question, the most useful information, so the first or level of reporting is seeing what just the rate is, this line graph for a product. And then if I, as the user or some sort of decision maker, I then want to see, okay, now I know what the rate of wastage for a particular product is, within what's causing most of it. And so that's where the pie chart by reason becomes useful. And, you know, if I have a pie chart visual, I know what's driving it. I don't need sort of, you know, 20 of the doses was due to cold chain failure and 5 was due to,
sure.
It's more the sort of off the whole, what's the biggest driver.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we can... I can add a graph that shows closed vial wastage by product as well, and then we'll get that pie chart added as well. So I'll send y'all an update in Slack once that's done.
Cool.
Yeah, but so that was really the only thing that I had to show was just the sort of complications of adding reason name to the table. But this is a good discussion and better ways to expose that reason name. So thank you.
I have another question for this visual, which is just knowing what the reporting rate is. I mentioned this to Brandon yesterday when he and I were chatting about this. In our demo data, you have a pretty full data set. But usually closed vial wastage is pretty poorly reported. And so you will have time periods. For instance, when you had the weekly information, that 1 or 2 weeks of the month, you might not have any wastage that's reported. So how do you take into account null data So if there's a way in which where you can have either a line that shows you the reporting rate across the same time period, or a key of some sort that says, you know, 20 out of 100 facilities reporting or something.
I see. So I heard the last part there to know how many facilities are reporting. What was the first part of your question? You broke up a little bit there.
Oh, just that you normally will not have good reporting of a particular indicator. So if you show the time period on a weekly basis, there will be a few weeks where there is no data. So how does this factor in null data? It shouldn't convert to zero because that's not true. So will it just show gaps in the visual, or how does it work?
Yeah, it'll calculate. Right now, what it'll do is calculate as a zero if there's null data. Well, I'm pretty sure that's what it'll do. Let me confirm that for you just before we start operating under that assumption. And then in terms of showing, let's see, facilities that have reported. So in this example, if Quamba had sent us data, but Assumain did not, we would essentially want a way to flag Assumain as having no data.
Yeah, maybe, you know, this will only apply when you're showing the information one level up. So for instance, if you're showing five districts and there are lines for five districts, you would say, you know, it's information from five districts, but only a third of the facilities are reporting the information.
So when we say that they're not reporting, does that mean we're going to have zero stock cards for those facilities, or would we just have no reasons on those stock cards?
Yeah, so likely that there might not be reasons on the stock card, or that they haven't said that anything is wasted. So they could say, they could leave that blank.
Yeah. So I think what we could do, I mean, we could give a, so we can, for starters, we can give a count of stock cards that we've received from each facility. And so if that's low, then we would know that that facility hasn't, you know, reported data. If we will have stock cards, but fields will be null, we could probably give a count of line items where reason is null per facility. So if we saw that, you know, a particular facility had submitted, I'm making numbers up here, 1,000 stock card line items, 800 of which had no reason, then we would know that there's probably a deficiency in their data there, and they're not reporting everything they could. Yeah, I think what we would do is look at nulls and provide counts of nulls, or also provide, just a count, a raw count of the line items we've received from that facility. How do those two sound to you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the null. I think I'd have to see what the second option would look like. I'm having trouble visualizing that, but definitely the nulls, that makes sense.
Cool. Cool. No, that's good. I can work on adding those visuals as well. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. Any other thoughts from the group?
Will you be showing us full availability now as well?
Sure. Yeah, so this one, the graphs aren't as pretty because it's either a 0, a 50, or a 100. but essentially what we've done take the count of facilities, because we only have two facilities, right? So that's why we're either at a 0, 50%, or 100%. But, you know, the denominator is the count of facilities 2, and the numerator is the count of facilities with full stock availability. And so what we can see here in the table, if there are zero facilities with stock out, and the reason we're seeing one is because it's grouped here by facility name. But you know, if we have zero stock outs, the full stock availability rate is 100. And where we do have a stock out, you know, we've got a rate of zero. So, you know, once, you know, if I think a couple ways that we could try to make this, you know, maybe more visually appealing, where we can either try to add some more facilities to it, but I know that will require another round of enriching demo data in a sprint. Or we can try to, let me see if I could try to break it down by orderable name in our graph here.
So full stock availability usually is done, you know, you have all of the products in the program, but then an implementation will say, I care most about three of these products, which are my tracer products. And so they put that information, and then that's what the full stock availability is based on. So of the most important products in my program, what is the stock availability indicator for all three combined?
Yeah, and so what you would do there is in this, in the filter here, we would just select what those three tracer products are. So let's just use BCG, pentavalent, IPV. My graphs here would just be including those. You can see here by orderable name, we just have BCG, IPV, and pentavalent. So yeah, we would use the filters to do that.
I think,
and you know, and similarly to, sorry to interrupt. So, and similarly to closed vial wastage, we could add a graph that has, you know, a, like here, that has a line per product so that you see it all, and then you can refine it down as you wish.
Yeah, I mean, my impression is that even that getting more demo data for more facilities may be what's critical here, that for this to show well, the graph on the left with the green and the graph on the right with the colors by facility.
Yeah.
For this particular indicator to demo well, like where you can, you know, put it on a screen in a room full of people and they'll be impressed. We really might need to get more facilities in there so that, like, as many as 8 or 10, so that there are different increments other than just 0, 50, and 100.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this indicator is extremely compelling, and you know, people love it when you show it spatially. So you're usually observing this at a higher level, you know, either at a regional or country level. And so to then show a map of like a region and say, greens are all the ones that have full stock availability over 3 months, and then the red, you know, that sort of spatial viewing.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning spatial visualizations. That's something also that came up last sprint that we can look into implementing this sprint as well. That's something we can do in Superset. You know, is representing it by, you know, whatever the, you know, by region, by district, by province. So yeah, that's something we can look at as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know that came up last time too, and it is really compelling. And I know originally we said we want to cover the basics first, and then if we have extra time or whatever, go into the geospatial thing. But I think enough different people keep suggesting it that it's worth thinking about what level of effort. Like, I don't know, Clay, if it's something that if you spend the next sprint and try to do some of the geospatial, that you can add a box on this page that does show that kind of map view. I don't know if it's that easy or if it's like really months of work, but I do think it's a compelling enough, like, marginal benefit compared to the marginal cost that pretty high on our wish list if time allows.
Absolutely. I think it's something we can look into. I mean, we the full stock availability indicator from has been, now that we've got it built, is the business logic is pretty much done. Unlike closed vial wastage, where we're looking into some of the aggregators and there are some snafus we have there. So I think we can certainly look at getting a map built for this indicator. I can't imagine that it would be months of work. I don't have experience building it in Superset. We do have another mapping application at Ona that's separate from Superset that we have some experience with. So we built a lot of map visualizations of analytics tools. With Superset, I can't imagine it's going to be too different from the tools that we have experience in. So I'll talk with my team tomorrow, and you know, we'll see if it's something we can do. If not by the next sprint, then certainly by the subsequent one, I would think, you know, 4 weeks would be enough time for us to do that. So we'll talk. I'll talk with my team internally tomorrow, and we'll sort of come up with, you know, what we'll look at what Superset's capabilities are around giving a spatial display of some of these metrics, what kinds of inputs it requires. It'll likely require some kind of, you know, something, obviously some kind of coordinate mapping input, you know, so we can, you know, collect those, and we'll try to find something that is for, I think these are in Malawi, these facilities, if I'm not mistaken. So we can try to find, you know, that the file that we would need to load that would essentially have, you know, the Malawi regions. One thing that does come to mind is we would need the demo data. The demo data has the facility. So I don't know if we would need to have anything added to our demo data since it has the facility and the geozone information on it already. I'll talk with my team about it tomorrow, and we'll see what the timeline would be to get that built in. And I'll let you all know if we need anything additional from y'all in terms of demo data or what have you.
Great. Yeah, definitely let us know about the demo data, because I think that would also help this FSA.
Absolutely. That's good.
Okay, well, so we've looked at both indicators. Clay, is there anything else, you know, that's changed or, you know, been done in the last 2 weeks that you want to point out or show, or can we,
No, I think that covers it from my end.
Okay, great.
Just one more thing that I thought of. So one of the things that if it's a large implementation of the OpenLMIS instance, for instance, I think, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think OpenLMIS just considers every single facility in OpenLMIS as either being a health facility or, say, a district store, a regional store, and so on. So when we say facilities, is that just everything, or is it specifically health facilities?
I'm not sure I can answer that. Yeah, Brandon, are you able to speak to that?
Yeah, so that's a good point. In OpenLMIS, the facilities all have a type. That's, of course, configurable. Different country implementations use a different set of types or names for those types. Something might be a warehouse or a health facility or a district hospital. And it may be helpful to expose those types as filters in Superset, so that, like, when the way on the right, Clay, you have that filtering box where you could pick a set of products to show. I can imagine people wanting to pick and just see health facilities or just see district hospitals or just see warehouses, you know, for different situations.
Yeah, great. Especially, again, you know, things like full stock availability is usually shown as two different pieces of information. What is the availability at large storage points, so which are the warehouses and the stores, and then what's the availability at the administration sites for the health facilities?
Yeah, no, that's great. We will check and see if that facility type is available in the current demo data. Otherwise, we can work with Josh to get that added as added as an enrichment item. What you're saying makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, and definitely there are in the demo data, all the facilities do have a type, and there's a basic set, you know, district, hospital, health clinic. But what I don't know is, yeah, if that's already like through the NIFI pipeline and everything, if the name of those types is actually something you're pulling in or not. But
it's not currently, but if it's in the your reference data API, we can pull it when we pull the other geozone facility data. We can add that easily enough. I assume it's just a field that's captured on facility. So we would essentially be able to add it just like we have facility name, facility ID. We can pull facility type. It'll be pretty straightforward. And yep. One thing we'll be cognizant of, if we do add like a greater range of facilities to our demo data, it would be good to make sure that those are from a variety of different types. And we don't just have a bunch of health facilities, but we have some warehouses, et cetera. So that's something we'll want to be cognizant of. And I'll make sure that's communicated to Josh in the ticket that I'll write up to get some more facilities added to our demo data for the full stock availability indicator.
Okay, great. Great, yep. And definitely let Josh know if you have questions as you start seeing that data come in, or if we do need to change anything in demo data. But
cool,
great. And I'll send Josh a message that I haven't heard yet from him, whether he's sick or well or getting better, or you know, how soon we'll be able to hear back from him. But I'll let him know you have a couple of these things that came up at today's reporting showcase here that you'll be pinging him about.
Sweet. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything we should cover today? Okay. Well, then I think we're good. Thanks for doing this update. And thanks. I know, Clay, hopefully you and the team all got different, sort of some holiday time. And I'm glad you're okay after the car situation in Kenya there. And anyway, happy 2018. We're super excited to keep polishing off some of these things so we can demo some of this reporting work and start showing it off. So this will be an exciting next few months.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd like to echo that. This has been a really good experience from our end. Getting some work done with data that we're not native experts in, and it's been really nice working with y'all and really pushing the limits of what our platform can do. So thank you.
Excellent. Thanks. NVIDIA especially, thanks. I know you build a lot of these reports or help country implementations build these sort of dashboards. Thanks for joining and for your keen insights here. And everyone else, thanks as well. Have a good rest of your evening or morning, as the case may be.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye.